Thanks a lot.
Okay, here's your itinerary.
What is that?
Well, that's just, that's to get to the Northwest Fire District. This is the least we did with them to, they just got to okay it.
Yeah, I just sent it off to them, they're going to review it.
1205, we depart from Albany.
Yep, sweet. All right.
Give yourself, depending on the weather.
So three, so we should leave here like, well, I was going to say 8:45, 8:30. We can stop and get some coffee and stuff.
Yeah, are we rolling?
Yes, we are.
Okay, we'll start the work session. Obviously, we've got numbers one through five, but if the board will allow, I'd like to move the insurance, the discussion of the town insurance package up. We have Hank Chapman with us today, who's going to help us navigate these waters. If you come on up to the table. Dave Raleigh and myself sat with Hank earlier in the week, and he put together three options for us to consider.
Thank you.
You got it.
Thank you, Hank.
Thank you, Hank.
Certainly, sir.
Thank you.
Sit down. Okay, you want me to?
Yeah.
Okay. Without going through page by page all the details, draw your attention to tab five, and then the spreadsheet on the inside left pocket. Those are really the two most important items. At your direction and as your insurance agent, I negotiated your renewal proposal from your current insurance carrier, NYMER, and also went out to bid for several other alternatives. Frankly, every insurance carrier that does municipal work in a town like yours. Some of the insurance carriers we deal with won't work with a town that's maybe this size. We talked to them, but discarded them immediately. So we came up with a few different proposals, and if you look at the premium summary, it's the easiest way probably to look at it initially. The first column is your current proposal that you have, your current policy that you have with NYMER, the year 2016. You're currently paying $59,871, which includes a capitalization fee that you pay into NYMER every year for, I believe it's 3 years, and this is the last of those years. It's either three or five, actually, I don't remember what it is now. So your total that you're currently paying is $59,871. Working with NYMER and advising them that you had aggressive competition, that we were creating competition, so be sure to bring us your best number. Their proposal comes in at $56,252, which is a 6% decrease. So doing nothing, staying with NYMER, you're saving money. We went to Trident, which is our lead insurance carrier. They insure more municipalities with us than anybody else does. We insure now 14 of the 19 towns in Onondaga County, six of the 15 villages, plus the county, plus the city of Syracuse, and 100 municipalities throughout New York State. And Trident is our lead company. Their proposal came through at $51,191, I believe it is. Actually, I have an older version here. Make sure I've got the right numbers. Yeah, $51,191, and that includes the $662 that you would still owe to NYMER for your last installation of the capitalization fee.
That includes that.
It's included in the $51,191. So their proposal is actually a little bit less than that. But you would end up paying out of pocket $51,191, which is a 14.5% decrease from what you're currently paying. Moving over two columns, Houston Casualty, which is another lead carrier in the insurance, municipal insurance world. They are the kind of the hot market these days. I recently moved the town of Onondaga, Cicero, Skinny Atlas, DeWitt, and one other maybe one other recently switched to Houston Casualty. They've put together a good program, very aggressive on pricing. and ask them to come up with a bid too, and their bid comes in at $43,254. So that's actually the lowest bid, just comparing those companies. The other thing that we like to do, and I'll get into the coverage in just a minute, is we bring a company that's called Allianz in to bid on your, basically your equipment. They'll take a look at your physical damage for your trucks and your dumps, your heavy trucks and your dumps, plus your equipment. And what they're able to do is they're able to give you a little bit better coverage for those, essentially those vehicles. If you combine, if you take that part of the proposal out of Trident and put it into Allianz, that brings your proposal down to $46,807, which again is a 22% now decrease from what you're currently paying. If we combined Houston Casualty with Allianz, you'd be at $47,078. So if you went with the Allianz, which has the better coverage, those two are actually very essentially alike in premium. The cheapest route would be to just go with Houston Casualty, but you wouldn't have the benefit of the extra coverage that you have with Allianz. So that's it on the premium. We also looked at the supervisor and the controller's recommendation at other savings that you might be able to find out there should you choose to. If you declined terrorism coverage, which you currently have, and it's an optional coverage, you would save those amounts depending on which proposal you looked at. Terrorism coverage basically means that you're, if you have a loss that is deemed to be because of a nationally recognized terrorism, declared terrorism act, your coverage wouldn't apply if you don't have the terrorism coverage. So if you have a fire in this building and you have fire coverage, but the fire was deemed to be caused because of terrorism, your coverage wouldn't kick in unless you had terrorism coverage. So it's probably 50% of our municipalities have terrorism coverage and 50% don't. It's really, it's just kind of a gut call how you want to do it. But that's how much you would save.
Do we have it right now?
You currently do have it, yes.
And so that's why is there no figure under NIMAR?
Because that's an included coverage. They don't allow it to be an optional coverage taken out.
Gotcha.
And then the supervisor and controller asked me to look at a couple of different, like raising your property deductible from the current $1,000, which is obviously great coverage that you have on your property. If you took that up to $5,000 or to $10,000, you know, how that would affect your premium. You'll see that with the NIMAR proposal, it makes significantly more difference, but still keeps your premium a lot higher than the other proposals. And then finally, we looked at your current umbrella limit, and I'll go into specifics about that in a minute, is $4 million. If we reduce that down to $2 million, which I got to be honest, I'm not crazy about for about $1,000, but that's the savings that you would get if you did that. So moving
and our current property deductible is $1,000?
$1,000, correct. And all of the proposals are $1,000 until you look at the changes at the bottom.
So if we raise it from 1,000 to 5,000, we save on the Trident Allianz combo
$500.
$500,
which I don't think is worth.
No, it's not worth.
In my opinion, that's not worth it.
Right.
If you were helping on NIMAR, which is going to cost you more, then maybe there might be a discussion about saving a whole, you know, $2,300 there.
Is this a typo? The 21.8%. That's a decrease with the Trident Allianz.
Correct. There's okay. There's no negative sign. You're correct. 21.8% decrease. Now, if you look at this spreadsheet here, I'll just kind of go through the coverage a little bit. At the end of the day, all three, NIMAR, Trident, and Houston Casualty, are municipal insurance carriers. They have fantastic programs designed just for municipalities. You're going to have great coverage either way. My boss likes to say that there's differences between any company, most of them minor, and it's impossible to predict now which one is going to affect you and which one's not. Most of the minor coverages I won't even talk about. You're going to have a little bit better coverage for flagpoles here and shrubs here or some of the minor things, but most of them that make a big difference I tried to highlight. The first one I'll mention is your total insured value. NIMAR's insuring you for $9.9 million of property value. Trident and HCC calculate it slightly differently. at the end of the day, that doesn't make a whole lot of difference. You do have better coverage with Trident or Houston Casualty. What NYMER does is they insure it at 90% of value. But because you have blanket coverage, it means that if you have a loss on this building, the values from any other building can be brought over to cover it. So unless all of your buildings have a loss at the same time, you have more coverage than you're ever going to need with $9.9 million. So even though you do have more coverage there with Trident or with HCC, it because you have blanket coverage, unless, like I said, unless you have a total loss on every building at once, it really isn't going to likely ever come into play and be a difference. As talked about, you have a $1,000 deductible as quoted. Skipping down, just to highlight some of the differences that might make a difference. Trident is a little bit less coverage when it comes to medical payments on your general liability. What that means is that if somebody has a something that you're at fault at, it's you're responsible for the liability on it, you have a $10,000 essentially pocket that you can pay out that claim so that they don't have to bring a suit against you. You still have liability coverage if they bring a suit against you. You still have the same coverage. It just avoids them having to bring suit.
Is that like go-away money?
Yeah. Okay. Legal go-away money, yes. Yes, I guess that's a good way to say it. And so, that's it. Again, you're always going to have coverage for liability either way with any of the proposals. This is just a little bit of kind of an extra pocket of cash that HCC and NYMER offer that Trident does not. Looking down to OCP, I'm just going to mention it, even though it's not a difference that makes a difference. OCP is a policy, an owner's contractor's protective policy that's required by New York State for every municipality to have, that covers New York State if you guys cause a problem in a state intersection. So if your town highway department is working in a state intersection where town road intersects with the state, they require you to have a policy protecting the state's liability there in the amount of $1 million. HCC happens to, the form they use happens to not have a $2 million aggregate on it, but you have the required amount that New York State requires at $1 million. It's just a $200 policy that's required by the state. Public officials is a little bit of a difference here. Houston Casualty does not provide the $2 million aggregate. There could make a little bit more of a difference. Also on the employment practices. This is the coverage that insures you guys for the decisions that you make. So if you guys as a board make a decision and a lawsuit comes against you, you've got $1 million of coverage with any one of them, but your annual coverage through the year is higher with Trident and higher with NYMER. Your umbrella kicks in on top of it, so you still have plenty of coverage either way. But Houston Casualty's coverage is a little bit less.
I think it's worth pointing out that in this analysis, it was discovered that coverage did not exist for decisions that were made prior to, what was the year?
Yeah, I think it was 2015, if I'm not mistaken. So you have what's called retro coverage. So if a claim, somebody came to you and said that the town board wronged me in, January 3rd of 2007, you have coverage that dates back currently to February 24th, 1992, so you would be covered. When we took over your policy, the NYMER had, your retro date was effective the date we took it over, frankly. It was only went back about a year. So we went back and asked them to change that and go back and get it back to 1992, which they were able to do. They wouldn't go back any further than that, but they went back to 1992, which is good. That's good coverage. Trident goes back to 1972 because that's the first year that retro coverage actually existed. So they won't go back further than that because it really wasn't a thing. HCC randomly comes up with a date of January 1st, 1980. It's interesting, I guess, to note that NYMER policies generally are January 1st, 1950. That's the date that they randomly usually choose, but they wouldn't, in this case, go back further than 1992 because they didn't have the ability to prove that you've had coverage in place further back than 1992.
So what happens when you switch companies? Do you use your current company, your new company's Retro? Or
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
And so the new company, if it's tried and says, we'll take you back to 1972?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Correct.
Pretty cool.
As long as you have continuous coverage.
That's a big catch.
As long as you can prove you have continuous coverage. So, yeah, so we did catch that for you, and I'm glad we did. I should mention, just so that you know, Shannon O'Keefe Clearwater is the account manager that works on this account. She used to work for Eastern Shore, which has the exclusive arrangement with NYMER. She's very familiar with NYMER, and she was able to help us fix that. But just editorially speaking, there's nobody better at what she does than that. You could talk to any one of our member towns, and they could tell you that if there's ever any issue, any problem, anything you guys need, she's on top of it. She is absolutely fantastic, and you're very, very well served by her. Your employment practices, which is a part of the public officials, basically is if you're sued for sexual harassment or back pay or anything employment related along those lines. Again, Houston Casualty has a little bit less coverage in the aggregate, but they all have essentially the same coverage.
The umbrella cover that as well?
Yes. Although I will point out one little caveat to that. Your umbrella, this is kind of complicated to explain. NYMER does it differently than most standard carriers. NYMER, all of them have $4 million of umbrella coverage, so that $4 million goes over all of your liability lines. I put a red mark here. It probably is nothing, but NYMER doesn't specifically spell out that your coverage goes over the employment practices. It's not written into the policy. If somebody really were to fight it, they probably could claim that there's no coverage there, but they just don't write it in there. But it's part of the public officials, so we would make the argument that you do have that coverage with NYMER. I'm sure that you do. If there was ever a claim, we would fight that, and we would make sure that you have that coverage. The others do include it. I just point that out as the way they do things is a little less clear. But you have $4 million of coverage, which goes over any of your liability lines, your public officials, your employment practices, your auto liability, and your law enforcement, which covers any bailiff or anybody like that you might have. That $4 million has an $8 million aggregate with NYMER, which you don't have with the other two. But the other two have $4 million separately over each line. So what that essentially means is if you had two claims in one area, like two auto liability claims that reached the threshold of your auto liability limit and reached the threshold of your umbrella, you could go up to $8 million in coverage, where with Trident or HCC, you're capped at $4 million for the year. But if you have a claim in public officials and a claim in auto liability and a claim in your general liability, you could have $12 million of coverage with Trident and with HCC because they have $4 million over each. So obviously you don't know which way the claims are going to come. One's better in one scenario. If the claims are in different areas, if the claims are in the same areas, the other's better. But $4 million is as close to apples as you can get. And then finally, just to get back to what we talked about with Allianz, we like to offer this option sometimes. Pardon me. It's more expensive. Sometimes it's a little bit less expensive. But when you combine Trident and Allianz, it's actually less expensive because that coverage is cheaper with Allianz than it is with Trident. But with HCC, it actually increases your premium. But the difference in coverage is right here with your trucks and your dumps. With NYMER, you have coverage for trucks and dumps. If you have a total loss, you get replacement cost for any vehicle, any truck or dump that's 10 years old or newer. With Trident, if you just had the Trident policy, you don't have replacement cost at all because it's insured on your auto policy, which has actual cash value, which means you get the replacement less depreciation, which is not as good coverage. With Houston Casualty, again, you've got the 10 years and newer, the same as NYMER, but if you add Allianz, you've got replacement costs for all of your trucks and dumps. So that means if you have a 30-year-old vehicle, you would get replacement cost a new vehicle. Significant difference in coverage, which is why we, again, for a total loss, which is why we recommend.
Total loss, 30-year-old vehicle totaled, which is easy to do.
Yeah, look at yourself.
I mean, let's face it, it's 30 years old.
Yep. These are your dumps and heavy trucks, not your
They would
not
pay
a
for
truck.
A new truck.
Correct. That's correct.
Pretty good.
That's correct. So that's better coverage, which is why we recommend that we drive the Allianz in. It has to be an insured durable loss. And then, you know, there's minor deductible differences, 500 to 1,000 here and there. The Trident Allianz has the $500, which is the lower. There's a little bit of differences you'll see in the numbers as far as the dollar values of scheduled equipment, but most of that is because one company puts it on the auto, one company puts part of it on the inland marine, but at the end, all of your equipment and heavy vehicles per the schedule we've verified with you guys are covered. At the end, with all of that being said, you've got great coverage with any one of the three options. They're very, very similar. Like I said, they're all designed municipal programs. I feel very comfortable with any of them.
Well, why wouldn't we just go with Trident Allianz?
I think you would.
Oh, okay.
If I were on the town board, that's probably that's what I would do.
I mean, the other thing that's so if you went Trident Allianz, that comes in at $46,807.
Correct.
You go with Houston Casualty and Allianz. It's $47,078.
So essentially the same. It's $200.
Yeah, it's essentially the same. But one of the things that you mentioned when you met with Dave and I was the customer service issues that you've had with Houston Casualty as well is concerning.
Yeah, and I don't want to overstate that because Houston Casualty has been very good to our customers. Because they're a little bit newer in this market, we've had a few bumps. When we've been dealing with them on claims, the way they process claims is a little bit different than what some of the other companies do. We've had to work with them. They've made some changes. I feel confident that it's going to get better. But Trident's good. I mean, we've never had a problem with Trident, and they've been doing this in this area for a long time. If Houston Casualty had this, you know, if you did Houston Casualty and Allianz and you were $3,000 less, I would say that's the best option. But if they're the same, I feel more comfortable that you're not going to have as many problems. You wouldn't have problems with Trident. No, we're going to fight for you either way. Any problems that you have, we'd help you work through, and probably wouldn't be problems. But, you know, Town of Onondaga, not to talk out of school, but Town of Onondaga switched to them, and Lisa Goodwin, the clerk, is, you know, just had a lot of little issues, just annoyances. You know, geez, we've always done it this way, and now we got to do it this way. And how come they're having us go through this process when we've always gone through this process? And sometimes Houston Casualty has communicated directly with the insured and kind of left us out, so we're not in the know to be able to fight for them and advocate for them. They're minor things. I'm confident that HCC has addressed them and is going to fix them, but again, all other things being equal, there's more guarantee, I think, with Trident.
This 662 capitalization fee, will we have to pay that again
next
year?
This is the last year of it.
Okay.
We verified that. When you join NYMER is not an insurance company. It's a collection of self-insured municipalities, and they charge you, it's either 3 years or 5 years now. I can't remember. I think it's 5 years. They charge you every year to join for the first 5 years. Actually, it's a one-time fee that they allow you to split over 5 years. And then that's money that they have in the system that, whatever, earns money and allows them to exist. And I believe you can eventually get that money back. I'm pretty sure you can apply to get that money back when you leave. But you are committed to paying that money even if you leave. So if you left 3 years ago, you'd still have to pay 4 more years on it. But this is your last year of it.
It's a significant price difference, $13,000.
$13,000 even with that fee.
You know, and let me just tell you, we work with NYMER. In Onondaga County, we have to co-broker with Eastern Shore to be able to get to NYMER, because the way NYMER tries to operate is with exclusive arrangements with insurance agents. So Eastern Shore cannot bring you a Trident quote or a Houston Casualty quote. They can only bring you a NYMER quote. But we can't bring you an IMER quote without working with Eastern Shore. So we work with them on a co-broker situation in Onondaga County, and we do that with Van Buren. We did that with Geddes until recently, and one other. outside of Onondaga County, we can go to NIMR directly. And NIMR's a great company. Their coverage is good. Their model, however, and I'll tell you this, their model is to try to keep your premium flat as much as possible. You don't see the dips that come. You don't see the hiccups that go up. The argument I use against that is, why wouldn't you want to take advantage of when the market's down? When the market's down, you want to be saving money. And then if it goes back up, we'll switch it to NIMR if that's the best deal. If NIMR's going to stay flat.
Well, we're going to go through this process every year.
Yeah.
It's an annual thing.
Exactly. So if,
as long as the coverage is comparable, there's a savings. I'm used to NIMR. The Village was with NIMR forever.
Yep.
And we used NIMR. We never had any issues with NIMR. So when you presented, I was very uncomfortable even considering another company. But,
understood.
You know, based on the coverages and based on the number of other municipalities that are with Trident, I personally, I'm one of five, would feel comfortable switching over to Trident Allianz, the combination coverage.
Now, if we switched over to Trident Allianz, and then next year you determine that it's better to go back to NIMR, because this is our last year paying into NIMR, and now we're switching again, are we going to have to start paying in again?
The capitalization fee, that's a great question. You probably would, but we wouldn't switch unless you're going to save enough to justify it. You know, I mean, it's $662 times five. You're paying $3,000. So if they're not going to save you $3,000, we're not going to switch you. But that's a good question. I don't know how they handle that. I think you probably would have to pay it again, but that might be something we could negotiate on your behalf. Like, they really want your business, they can say, you know, you don't have to pay it again. I think they probably have that ability to do that.
Okay.
That's a great question.
Or would we be able to possibly, because you said we could possibly get that money back once we left NIMR?
Yep.
Could we apply that towards coming back in again if the board felt that they needed to at some point?
Yep. Yep. I would assume that would be an option.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we vote on this?
Yeah, we can. I mean, if the board's comfortable in voting on it tonight, I didn't put it down as an agenda item because I didn't know.
Do you want us to? Because I'm totally in support of this.
Yeah, I mean, I would. If the board's inclined, I'll put a resolution together for an action tonight.
Does Dave have any other different opinions?
No, Dave was, I believe, he was in support of Allianz. He'll be here, and you can verify that, but. So, and this is the first time, you know, you guys have briefed. I haven't talked about the coverage until tonight because I didn't want there to be any bias towards it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you're basically coming to the same conclusion that we did.
And again, just to reiterate, our job is every year to look at this for you. So next year, if Trident and Allianz come and they say your renewal is flat, there's no changes, and you guys have been happy, I'm going to have a conversation with the supervisor and with Dave and say, hey, do we want to go out and market it out and get competitive bids, or because they're flat and you're happy, we'll stay here and we'll look at it next year? But if they come to you with 5%, I'm going to say we're definitely going to go get, you know, we're going to get competitive bids. We play these companies against each other all the time for the purpose of getting you the best deal we can possibly get, and they know that. Yeah, you know, HCC has been very aggressive in the market, as I've said, and we've switched five different towns to them. Trident knows that, so Trident now has sharpened their pencil a little bit more and become a little bit more aggressive, and that's worked to your advantage.
I guess what I like about Trident, other than the price, is the fact that they'll go back to 1972 if something were to come against the board.
Yeah, likelihood of that ever happening is probably slim, but it's good that it does go back some.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want it to be where it was when we first got in here. It was last year. And you want to have some protection there, but I'd be just as comfortable with 1972 and 1992. I don't think either is just as good.
All right. Any other questions? Yeah, the audience.
I just want to let you know is when we took the insurance, we went direct to NIMR. I think we're on Trident before through their company. It's a good company. That's where to take the premium down. They took insurance on the elected officials out. And then, that's another thing, is when we had the insurance broker, they weren't allowed, we couldn't accept bids direct. What we ended up doing, beginning, let's see, 2012 was under the old one, February 28th. That took us 2013, 13, 14, with the NIMR, we took $15,000 off by going direct to them instead of going through a broker. And they also took us back 20 years. We were 20 years back at the time. And because we had no retroactive activity with Trident at the time, we weren't sure when we first took office. But the difference that we saw, and then, you know, checking with Dave, that NIMR had tried through Eastern Shore several times to bid direct, and they'd been turned down because we had to go through Hayer, Fryer, and Poole.
Right.
But I think you'll see the main difference is the way they explain it to us is that additional money over what you're seeing with the Trident and such, the way they're set up, that pretty much has to pay for the broker because the town's not paying for the broker.
Right. Well, I'm sorry, I wish our health insurance was going in the same direction as our liability.
You want to work on that far?
NIMR's where it is because you just bought a broker.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks for the feedback. All right. Thanks for coming in, Hank.
Very good. Absolutely. Yeah. Just let me know when it's official, and we'll. I think we've got till February 24th, so we've got plenty of time. As soon as you let me know.
Yep. There's a. There'll be a motion on the floor tonight.
Okay.
Thank
Great.
You.
Thanks. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yep.
Thank you, Hank.
See you, Hank.
Yep.
All right, why don't we do the incentive zone map change? We did get some feedback from the county. Did you get a copy of that?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. They determined that there was no significant impact, and they reiterated their concerns as far as working with DOT on any future entrances on and off of 370, as well as working with WEP on any future impacts on sewer operations in that area. So the other thing I wanted to mention through this process, we're going to wait for a response or a recommendation one way or another from both Zoning Board of Appeals and Planning Board. We want to hear from our own planning board on this issue, as because anytime we're dealing with land use policies, you know, we should be following, we need to follow the club. And since planning board had such a significant role in the club, I thought that it'd be appropriate that we wait to hear back from those boards as well. So I believe, Jack, when's your next meeting?
March 9th, it'll be on the agenda, and you'll have our comments.
Okay, so we'll have the comments, so by the second, our second meeting in March, we'll have those comments. The Zoning Board of Appeals, same. You know, I would think that we could get an opinion within a month's time. Okay, infrastructure grant opportunity. I've been working with Brian May. Brian has really been a champion for us as far as, well, for every town and village, really, trying to convey to the county that there are infrastructure needs out in the suburbs, outside of the city of Syracuse. You hear a lot about the needs of the city of Syracuse, but a lot of the infrastructure just outside of the city, for example, even in the village of Baldensville. The village of Baldensville was incorporated the same year Syracuse was. The mains that are in the middle of the village of Baldensville are just as old as the city of Syracuse. So Ryan's been a champion of trying to get the county to allocate funds for infrastructure projects. And they sent me a letter, Ryan McMahon, who's the chair of planning. This was actually, he let me know some time ago. This was adopted October 11th. The county is set aside funds. It's in the interest of the county and its residents to support infrastructure improvements projects sponsored by municipalities located within Onondaga County. Is a viable and prosperous community rests in part upon the ability of the community to maintain and improve its public infrastructure system. And there's basically a bunch of whereases, but they've allocated, I believe, $750,000, of which I've talked with Al, a project that we've come up with, we've determined that that we could really use some help on, because it would be a major rebuild, would be completely rebuilding Mercer Street up in Indian Springs. Very similar to the street that was worked on, what, 2 years ago? What?
Crego
Street. It was basically the same project. A lot of the infrastructure up in that area is, there's not much base in those roads. The drain, we're having tremendous drainage issues, and they're not mill and fills. And as a matter of fact, the mill and fill streets up there, you're on a bad base, bad drainage, you're almost wasting your money because you don't get the long-term impact from what we're proposing. So,
I mean, there's less than two inches of asphalt material on all of those streets up there. There's just nothing to build off of.
It's actually amazing that they lasted as long as they did. But we have a deadline of March 1st to submit that, and Al's working hard on that. And I'm confident that we'll have that submitted in time, and I'm optimistic that we will get a good chunk of change for that project.
Yeah, as long as everybody's on board with going after that project.
Does that make sense?
Now, was that project budgeted for this year, or are we?
That'll be in our pavement.
It will be. It will be. Year, yes. It will be.
Yeah. And so we're spotlighting this now because of that grant as well.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. It's not a matching grant. Just those are dollars that would be allocated from the county.
But this road was on the plan to get worked on this year.
It's been, yeah. Well,
what we were doing is every other year we were trying to do a street in that neighborhood.
Right.
It was supposed to be last year.
It's a significant amount of money. When you're spending between $650 and $750 a year on roads to take $250,000 out on one particular road, that's a lot of money in a very small area. So I'm optimistic that's going to work out. I've been in close contact with Brian, so we'll see where that lands.
That's awesome.
Joe, could you?
Yes.
Would you add a resolution authorizing the town engineer to apply for the grant? A lot of times these grant applications, I know in the state, they want to see support from municipality as opposed to just somebody writing it. So
this is county.
I understand, but okay. I don't know whether they're going to request something from the town saying, did you authorize this?
Oh.
So I'm just saying, let's do it ahead of time and
okay,
that
so
way you won't have to worry.
So we have an item H, which is going to be a motion to allow supervisor to sign an insurance contract with Allianz and
Trident.
So item I will be a motion
authorizing the engineer to apply for it. Do you know the name of it, Al?
Yeah, the Onondaga County Infrastructure, Infrastructure Improvements and Capital Projects
within towns.
Onondaga County Infrastructure Improvements and Capital Projects. Within towns. All right, now fill in the rest. Okay. Al, I attended a meeting with you yesterday in the city of Syracuse. This is another awesome grant. Actually, it's not even an opportunity. We won this grant. This is $445,000 for Radisson Drainage, for Radisson Drainage Project. You want to come over and just brief the board on what we learned?
So we have, it's a 100% funded grant, no match. It's essentially three culverts in two different locations. an 84-inch culvert exiting the Willett Pond discharge control structure. It's approximately 190 feet long. And then two 48-inch culverts where the power lines cross Willett Parkway, and both those culverts are about 170 feet long. The culverts are true to line and grade, but they're corrugated metal pipe, and the bottoms are rotted out of them. So we're having erosion underneath the pipe, but they're perfect candidates for the slip line process. Nice. So the DOT reimburses us for my design time as well as all construction costs. So it's truly a no-fee grant opportunity that really addresses, especially the outfall of Willett Pond. That's a pretty big pipe that would, I mean, obviously
a lot of water behind it.
Well, yeah, and it would totally deplete the reserves of the Radisson Drainage District twofold.
Gotcha.
If we had to pay for it out of pocket, so. It's
what do you think the schedule might be?
We're looking to fast track this, and the DOT is not opposed to that. It's really how fast the contract can get through the bureaucracy. Today we still don't have an actual contract to approve a resolution to sign yet. We got a draft resolution that we can fill in, but we don't have the contract, so we really can't pass the resolution until we have the contract. They're hopeful that they can get us a contract before our first meeting in March. Once we have the contract in place, I can start design. But we have to do through the whole local administered federal aid process. So you have to do a preliminary design report, final design report, advanced design plans, plan specs and estimates, get all those steps approved by the DOT before they give you authorization to bid. Optimistically, we can bid this by the end of May, beginning of June, provided they can push us through. And it's, you know, their understanding that the central DOT office wants to see these grants move. There's a WBE requirement for this grant, MWBE requirement that's 30%. We just don't have enough item numbers to meet that. I mean, there's literally five item numbers, DOT item numbers in the project. So that's going to be something that we're probably going to have to get a waiver, whoever the contractor is, we're going to have to work with them to get a waiver on. There is an opportunity, if we wanted to do this with our own forces through force account, but we're taking away what is already a limited crew and tying them up for a significant amount of time, and ultimately we cannot spend any leftover money on other culverts. We can only work in these two locations with this grant funding, so we're better off just contracting. Yep.
Great. It's a great opportunity. Doug Mills, I've worked with him before when I was mayor of the village. He's a straight-up guy. Liked what he heard as far as our process, how we were going to put this or complete this project.
Hopefully we have a contract in place. Colin is actually back, I think it's the second week in March. He's on spring break, second or third week. I was going to let him do the design report, which would be a great experience for him, because he's never done a DOT design report, but I can work with him, get him through the process, and hopefully we can.
And you mentioned you can bill for your. For
yep. Those yeah, items. I told him. Okay. I told him that. So hopefully we can, get a jump on this and have that design report ready to go back. It should be a pretty simple report. I mean, there's only three alternatives. You do nothing, the culverts fail, you open cut it, and you got to relocate a whole bunch of utilities, or you slip line them now. So the design report is about as cut and dry as you can get on something like this. There's no, it's a type 2 action under SEAKER, so SEAKER isn't required. We do have to go through the DOT's process for endangered plants and animals. Again, there's no, other than putting new end sections on the pipe, there's no soil disturbance, so that's not an issue. As far as SHPO from historic preservation, that's not an issue either, because there's no disturbance other than putting new end sections on where it was already disturbed to put the end section in the first place. So it should be a pretty cut and dry project, and hopefully the DOT can fast track it, because I mean, ideally, we can actually lower, there's a valve on the Willet Pond dam structure, so we can actually lower the pond. We don't have to do any bypass pumping for that. And because the other section is 248 culverts at parallel, we can just build a cofferdam, send the flow down one pipe, slip line it, move the cofferdam to the other side, and slip line the second pipe. So it's a pretty good project, but you really want to do it during dry weather. Right. You know, it's not something you want to try to do in October or November when we're getting rains, and it just makes it that much more difficult. Sure.
And because we're going to have in-house engineering work on it, it saved us a ton of review process through the state, or the state.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Al.
Nice. Okay.
Thanks, Al.
And as far as the grant, keep in mind we got a $100,000 grant from Senator DeFrancisco that's going to help us build that cold storage unit at our facility on Loop Road at the Highway Department. And we were also notified that we're going to get $50,000 for additional street improvements. That was money allocated to us some time ago, but it hadn't been applied for, so we're going to reallocate those funds towards another street project this year.
We're looking at doing Drake's top coating, slurry sealing Drake's with the fog lines.
So we're up to, outside of, before we even get a dime from the county, we're up to $650,000 in grants this year.
That's great.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Good job, Al. All right. Solar energy law. Those changes were made. Did we post the solar energy law on the website when we made those changes?
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Excellent. All right. That's we've got, I think, our an open public hearing on that tonight. We'll see if there's any comments on that, and depending on what we hear, we might be able to move forward on that. And the other thing I thought was important for us to talk about. Gene, if you could join us for this discussion on sale of millings this summer. So, obviously it's end of year, and revenue is important. Millings?
You got a report, you got some checks.
Okay.
What do you
want to
know?
Okay, so trying to find as much revenue as possible to make sure that all of our invoices are in and paid, and that we're paying all of our debts this year. And so I asked Comptroller Raleigh if we'd ever been paid for millings that we had torn up from the roads, from the milling and filling this year. And he said we did. And I just wanted, and so I inquired how much. When I heard the amount that we received from gypsum, it kind of caught my attention because it seemed like we were $2,000-$3,000 off. And so I asked to see the invoice for it, and I was provided with basically an Excel spreadsheet that had identified all of the all the millings that went to gypsum over a four-day process. And in looking at the numbers, at first it was very difficult to break out because just the numbers weren't adding up. And we finally got to the point where we realized that 2,040 tons of millings had not been billed for. And so I wanted an explanation, just because obviously a motion was passed by the previous board. We don't really have a millings policy. We're working on that right now. But there was a price set per ton on millings at $2 a ton. And I didn't think that was a negotiable item, since the board had determined the cost of those. And so I had asked Gene about that, and he had mentioned that those millings, and Gene, you can join us, or you can...
What is that you want to know? Report up there.
Well, I mean, we can have a conversation across the room if you want, but
come join us.
Is
Joe, I went through this. And there's a couple of mistakes in
Okay. All right, so there was 2,040 tons. And Bob just pointed out he actually went through, and I don't know how you, it was just addition
seven
mistakes?
Plus six was 18.
Yeah.
And when you add that up, it's 42, not 36.
Okay. So Gene, approximately $4,080 in millings was given away, not charged for. Do you want to explain?
So say you. I don't know. Whatever your question is, put it in writing, and I will research it and give you a written full explanation. But you can't sit here and gang up and all at once. You want an answer to something. I'm one person, and I haven't had my secretary has been out since January 10th, the knee operation. And I'm running a $2.3 million operation over there with 9 full-time guys, 9 part-time, 100 and some miles of road. I have a very busy occupation over there. And when you want to know something, you want it like that, and I have the information. I have everything captured. Okay, I can tell you anything that we've done, anything that we've spent, tell you anything. Okay, well, but you got to give me some time to develop that.
Well, we talked about this.
You talked about it, and I gave you an answer, and you didn't like it, so I guess I got to give you a more detailed answer.
Well, why don't you just tell the board the answer that you gave me? That would suffice.
Why don't you put in writing what your question is, and I will give me an appropriate time, and I will give you a written explanation.
Well,
you didn't like it when I gave you a verbal one, so there.
Well, no, I didn't, but I'm one of five, so don't.
All right,
don't.
So now five going to gang up on one and demand an answer immediately.
I'm actually doing the exact opposite. I don't want you to think that I'm ganging up on you. Because I didn't agree with...
I was at five against one, and you're not ganging up on me?
I'm just asking for an explanation.
You're asking for an immediate answer to a complex question that will take me some time to develop an answer.
It's not that complex. It's really
not. To you, with your full crew of, you got a comptroller, or secretary, you got all kinds of people around you.
I'm just going...
I got nobody around me.
Gene, I'm just using a report that was given to our comptroller to Bill by.
Yeah. Obviously, you don't understand it, so I'm going to have to.
You did this.
Yeah.
But it's very easy to understand. It looks like.
Oh, I thought so, but.
It looks like 2,040 tons wasn't built for. And times.
Well, I'm not sure that that's an accurate number, but I will investigate and I'll give you a detailed answer.
The reason why I'm pushing a little bit on this is because it is year end, and to wait 2 weeks on an answer to a pretty straightforward question. I mean, even if you repeated what you said to me, I'm one of five, and this board should hear the answer that you gave me.
Will you give me that to me in writing, and I'll give you a detailed explanation as soon as I can.
I
told you, I have a lot of other things on my plate.
But Gene, you produced this piece of paper, and the math, except for one little typo, makes sense that there were 360 tons plus 268 tons that were billed. The town of Lysander got $6,080.
Mm-hmm.
And your sheet also shows 102 tons.
He said 1,000 tons.
I'm sorry, 2,040 tons, because that weren't billed.
2,040, I don't know.
Well, it's your numbers.
I don't know what the number is.
Well, no, it's your numbers. And that we didn't get any money for that. So I don't know what's so complicated about finding out why we didn't get paid.
I don't know. I will investigate it as quickly as I can. You tell me. I gave you a written report, which I thought was fully explanatory.
This is what we
If it's not good enough, tell me what it is
when
that you want.
Not, Gene, that you're playing games with us.
You're playing games.
Where is the money for 2,040 tons of millings?
I don't know.
Oh.
Tell me what you want to know in writing, and I will investigate it as quickly as I can and give you an answer. I thought that I gave a complete, honest report, but evidently it wasn't good enough for somebody.
I don't know why you're putting value statements on it. You have numbers here that add up.
I just told you, I'm one guy running a $2.3 million operation. So that is more than half of the entire town budget.
Are you saying that we might have got paid
There's
for that?
There's one guy managing two-thirds of the town's operation, okay? And you got a whole flock of people managing the balance, all right? So I would expect you to get quick answers up here, and that's great. But I can't give you quick answers because I'm all by myself. I've asked for a deputy from the previous board. I've asked for a deputy from you. And now my to make matters worse, my part-time secretary has out with a knee operation. And I mean, that's nothing that could be forecast, projected, or planned for. I'm not doing a bad job of keeping up with it.
Have you asked the supervisor for help? A replacement? Temporary help?
I asked for a deputy twice. Asked at budget time. I asked again a few weeks ago.
So this is,
and I didn't even get a no. I didn't even get an answer.
So without a deputy.
You want a complicated answer to something, but yet you can't even give me a yes or a no about whether or not I should have a deputy.
No, my response to your request, is, especially when it came to financial matters of the department, was to utilize Dan Picardo, who is my financial
good
assistant.
Good for you.
That wasn't good for me. It was supposed to be good for you.
Some different things. You were trying to fit a round peg into a square hole or a square hole into a round hole, whatever it is. It doesn't fit. Okay, Dan is not the right guy for the type of thing that you're talking about. I've got him working on some of the things that he is skilled at. Okay. I had him working on today. I just had him out doing as a wingman because that was short. Okay.
Which
so
we,
now he has the flavor
which
of
we have
snow
to,
plowing.
Which, just for the record and those in the audience, we will be billing his time to highway that he spent in the cab.
Thank you very much. You were so helpful. You gave me that help, but you charged me for it. Okay.
That's a
real gift.
Dan is not a wingman.
A real gift.
So who's next? Nancy?
Maybe.
All right. So look, I don't want to get in. Look, this
is a question.
Yes.
You know, since I made such a stink about last time, what did the other customer pay?
$5 a ton.
Or pay five.
That was my next question.
So you're thinking, like us, if we were going to buy in, we're going to pay $5 a ton, right?
I want consistency. For me, it's very cut and dry. Right now, your board passed a resolution that established $2 a ton. I don't care how it's picked up; it's $2 a ton. Because that was
our resolution. Was no trucking intent.
Right. I understand that.
Or there.
I understand that. So what I'm trying to provide is a policy that covers this. So there is no gray area. There is no negotiating. It's $2 a ton unless the highway committee comes up with a policy that's a bit more flexible as far as what we would charge on delivery, how that would be calculated, a number of things that you've already provided for.
Because from my perspective, it's kind of sore to see that much over there, no offer to us at all, but the trucks come all summer long with garbage and Christmas trees, you name
There's
it.
There's not no Christmas
there,
trees out
and
there.
We're going to probably start either shut it off or charge so much a load for the town coming out.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a call that you're going to have to make. What I'm trying to do here is get to the bottom of where 2,040 tons of millings went and for how much. And I was given an answer, and I'll provide the answer, Gene, since you're here, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I think we need to have some closure on this. The answer that I was provided was because the customer showed up with trucks underneath the conveyor belt, those, correct me if I'm wrong, those millings were given for free.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate?
Well, you put it in writing, like I said, and I'll give you a detailed answer as soon as I can.
I will volunteer.
What you're looking to do here is make, I don't know what you're looking to do, but I don't like the idea that five people are ganging up on me and pressuring me for something. I got a lot on my plate.
We're not ganging up on
them. I'm not going to be labeled as ganging.
What would you call it? What would you call it if I had suddenly walked in unannounced,
honestly,
and asked you for...
Honestly,
what
did
you do? What did you do for the town board for the last 2 weeks? Can you tell me?
Just so you know.
I can't tell me just like that.
You can't unilaterally change policy. If there's a policy that says we get $2 a ton, we get $2 a ton. If you would like to depart from that, then you need to come to the town board ahead of time and say, we've got a unique situation here. Do you guys want to review this? What do you want to do? But you made a unilateral decision. Can't do it. You just can't. And it's a matter of principle and policy.
But we will put it in writing and we'll allow you to explain that.
Okay.
Okay, so the other thing is just the milling policy. I've reviewed it. It looks pretty good. It still does, the delivery charge I'd like...
There were some caveats to it.
Yeah.
That the hard thing is to understand is you don't know where Gene is going to be working, so where is the milling machine? If it's on Wheaton Road and Reeves are close and we can sell it to Reeves economically and cheaply, it makes sense. Last year, he was in Clinton Heights.
Mm-hmm.
And Abbott's Farm was right down the road.
But we charged them.
It was
$5
shorter than going to 60 Road. But it was our trucks delivering the goods. So he paid $2 a ton for the asphalt.
Plus $3.
Plus $3 a ton for our trucks to dump it in his yard.
Okay. So what, let me just ask a hypothetical. What if Mr. Reeves wanted the millings? And we were going to drive out to Reeves properties.
From where?
From where they were in Clinton Heights.
That's probably not closer than 60 Road.
That's the problem with this is you're right back to the same cancer you got right now. There's the guy who's going to make the decision. And it's going to be made after it's too late and the horses run out.
Well, this isn't too late.
It's difficult.
This isn't too late, and we are going to come up with a policy. Policy that we had, just throwing it out there, that we had in the village was the milling. We dumped all the millings in a central location, and we put those millings. We had a set price for them, and then if anybody wanted the village to deliver the millings, we offered that as overtime to our guys. We calculated a minimum overtime charge, and. We calculated a usage fee for the truck.
So here's a ridiculous thing. Clinton Heights, I think, is where you had the sinkhole.
Last year.
There was no problem. Trucking all that junk out to our place, the brush and the mud and everything else in it. There's no problem trucking it that far because we're getting rid of it out there. But geez, you know, I can't truck millings out there because that's really too far to go. You can truck the junk all over the town out to our place.
Right.
But you want to turn around and say...
Slightly different. Those are spoils from a drainage district project that had really no value to the town. Millings have a value.
But we took them, and where would you have taken those and dumped them?
That's not what we're considering here. This board is trying to accomplish is establish a policy where there is no negotiation. It is what it is, and it fits each situation. There's only so many situations that we need to calculate. So I think you're off to a good start on the policy, And Gene, I just ask you to continue to work with the Highway Committee on this.
If you stop and look at it, realistically, if you're going to go in the area, closest person, you're better off to keep it three, because if it's closer than driving over there, what the hell are you charging them the extra money for? He's saving you money just by taking them.
That's along the lines of what I was considering.
That's not so.
If you're on the west side of town, does it make sense to dump in the meat for three?
You're not going to make an on-the-spot answer to an impromptu question.
Okay, so we'll pose this question in writing. Dave, can we wait 2 weeks for an explanation to determine whether or not we need to bill for 2,080 tons of millings?
Can we wait 2 weeks? Yes.
Before we close the books? How close are we in closing the books?
We still process some 2016 invoices today, so I mean we can leave them open.
Okay. If we can do it, we'll do that. We'll put this to you in writing and we'll wait for your response. Okay. Thanks, Gene.
Well, I got you. I need an executive session tonight to discuss a pressing personnel matter.
Yeah, I got two. I'm aware of it, and I was going to call for that. There are going to be two executive sessions to discuss personnel matters.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other?
Don't put it in writing. We'll talk to him in executive session.
Is there any, Al, anything else you can think of? Dave Rowley?
Does Tony, do you want
to? Oh, yeah. Tony, you want to come up?
Okay.
He's leaving.
See you, Tony. Good seeing you.
Nice to talk to you.
I think, just so I'm where you, isn't it Paul Hayter's out there where you want to make it dense housing with the change?
370?
Yeah. From Dunham Road back, that one spot there.
I don't know. Is that the remaining spot? We carved a ton out.
That's the remaining spot. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you very much.
I don't know if you guys are aware of it. Last year, I'm sure it's grant money. You put deep drip irrigation and all that and on the other side of the road so I wouldn't have to use any overhead water as part of a government program and everything else. That's actually the most valuable part of it now out there with deep drip in it.
Yeah.
It can be used for field crops or vegetables, and it's long term. You plow everything right over the top of it. It's deep enough that it saves water. You don't get runoff from nutrients and suck your nutrients into the tube.
Yeah,
you
get
don't get the nitrogen's on top of the soil and wash into the river. Yeah. So I would seriously
it should be green text for it to water eyes.
Okay.
On the north side of 370,
that's
the piece that we left there. Just say it because he could have.
Okay, that's on the agenda if you want to save those comments, so then that way we'll get you on the...
I'm sure that's all ADA grants.
Okay.
So, I've been working on a little project at the park, and I was told to look into something equivalent to what Camillus has at their park when they got rid of their pool. This is what I sat down with Al, and we've been crunching some numbers and going over. These are three companies that submitted in a design and money numbers for what the units are going to cost. This is about 4,000 square feet. Each pad's about that, and basically 20 spray units for the design to be equivalent to what Camillus has over at Camillus Park. And you can see on the front sheets of what we came in at budget-wise. What I'm proposing and asking of the board is what, and kind of fill you up to speed of what we've been doing, what we've been working on, is how far do we want to take this project, and what are we looking to spend, because we want to start putting bid packages together as soon as possible if we want to be open by mid-summer. So this is what the numbers that I have that you guys can look at, and roughly they're about the same in price, just maybe a little off here and there, and that all can be adjusted by different units and different equipment.
Al, is there a technical recommendation as far as a design that gives us more flexibility either for future expansion or for long-term use?
I can actually answer that. Vortex actually makes a unit called a smart point unit, which would allow us to flow a bigger pipeline in, and now you can jump in at any time, that they would allow us to flow a 2-inch pipeline to the smart point unit, which makes it easier to expand off of if we were to go that way. Right now, basically, each fixture would have its own pipeline running from our manifold, so there'd be 20 different pipelines coming to one manifold at this point, is what we budgeted for.
So I think a better way to say this would be
even with the smart point system, we would have to have two-inch supply lines going to the facility. And from those smart points, you're still going to have 10 lines each going out to each spray unit, each spray head. So with that being said, either way, you're having 20 individual services. It's just a matter of, do you have 20 individual services in one trench going to the pad, or do you have a trench going from our service out to the smart point units with two inch services? So either way, you're going to have a trench from wherever your water supply point is to the concrete slab.
Right.
It's either one. The trench is either going to have two lines in it, or it's going to have 20 lines in it. The supply lines are only 1 inch. You can use HDPE.
What was Camillus using to supply their park with?
They did not use a smart point system. They did a manifold system with individual lines to each
fixture. What's feeding the system?
They actually have a four inch line. So
why would we go 2-inch?
The smart point only has a 2-inch connection. So if we go, I think 4 is a little overkill. If you look at the gallons per minute that are required for the 20 fixtures, you can get away with a 3. So you'll see that my estimate on all these has a 3-inch copper service and curb stop assembly, which would be a new tap off of the existing 8-inch main that goes into the park. So that's what those costs are.
Have we gotten feedback from the state on whether or not we need to separate this water?
Here's what Mr. Cook from the DEC said. We can do a calculation that shows, and I'm sure this will be it, because it's just potable water. It's not super chlorinated like a pool. It's just potable water. There's more than enough contact and detention time in the grass-lined swales between the town park and where this discharges into the wetland that goes underneath the railroad tracks north of Henkel Boulevard. So you're going to be in a swale. There's plenty of contact time. There will not be residual chlorine. We just have to show that in a calculation so that we're documenting that we're not discharging chlorinated water to a regulated waterway in New York State. We're talking almost 2,000 feet of travel in a grass-lined swale. There's more than enough contact time to dissipate the chlorination from potable water.
And aside from the cost of the project, have you calculated the cost of 195 gallons per minute?
It's about $15,000 a year.
That's what Camilla spent on theirs, and that was from 9 in the morning to about 9 at night, and that was one of the hottest summers on record.
Yeah, about $15,000 a year.
You'd be able to control when it goes on and
what it goes off.
Yeah, it's a it's got a plunger, like a bollard with a plunger on it that you push, and it goes off for a cycle, and then the kids got to hit it again. So right. If there's no kids playing in it, it doesn't run.
And the thing is, it's all computerized too. We can adjust the amount of water that's flowing in those too, so it's not
how long each feature stays on.
Right. it'd be on like a timer system.
These are big numbers. They are. There's a contingency in this.
The contingency is healthy.
It is, and I'll put it to you this way. Camilla spent $450,000 on their project, including engineering. They had some parking lot improvements. They put some lights in. They put some shade umbrellas over some
paths.
Some benches. We've got a path here, too. We just did asphalt. They did concrete, just because all our other pads in the park are asphalt. So we would have a path from the existing office building over to the pad, and then from the little turnaround by the parking lot over to the pad. You see I've got a fence. I added a fence in here because that's what Camillus did. That's what Tony would like to see. These estimates are all with a manifold system and controls in a shed on top of a 8-foot by 10-foot concrete vault with a hatch so that you can drain everything back into that vault in the fall for winterization.
That includes the Vortex system as well.
The Vortex, we did not price this with smart points at this point in time.
No.
I don't know as that's that might not be our best option. I'm hesitant on the smart point system from a long term maintenance headache issue. I mean,
are we discounting Vortex now?
No. We've got Vortex in here, but we're going to do it with a manifold system, just like
we're getting away from the smart
point. I see.
I think there's long-term issues with the smart point system. From it just doesn't seem good to me to have all the actuators and everything right in the water with the drain. I just can see that seal failing at some point in time in the future and having to buy 10 new actuators and a control unit. I would prefer to keep our electronics separate from the water.
Are you guys prepared to make a recommendation tonight on one of the three?
At this point, we'd like you to look these over and make sure that we're, you know, we can continue down this road and this isn't too big of a nut to crack from a
right. Well, my point here is to bring you up to speed of what we've been working on.
Yep.
And two, to show you some numbers.
Yep.
Where you can say, whoa, we're getting out of hand because this thing is getting bigger and bigger every time we sit down and talk. And I just want to make sure that we're on the same page.
You're supposed to be afraid of the price. You're the one that's supposed to be going.
I'm excited about this project. I just don't want to see the project get squished.
Tony and I are both very excited. However, it's a lot of work to put a bid package together, as you know. And we don't want to get to a point where we're putting together a bid package and, you know, then we don't award.
It's pretty aggressive to think that you'll have this thing in place by this summer. I mean, I'm not worried about the time. I mean, if this happens for 2018, I don't have a problem. I'm not saying I don't want to do it this quick, but we have a lot of discussing we have to do.
Oh yeah, this is a big.
I think Tony was acknowledging that, though.
Yeah, this is
right.
Is this the same size, just the water stuff, as Camilla's, or is it smaller?
Approximately the same. You'll see that some of the designs have slightly different square footage. Like
right.
This one is deceiving because it says 2,500 square feet, but it doesn't include the sidewalk around the outside.
But
so,
the water apparatus.
Right.
Yes.
There's 20 units. Camillus has actually 21. So as close as possible to come in less than what they did. So we're right on.
You're still $120,000 or so less than their $400,000 budget, but they had those other features.
Right.
Added.
Right.
They had a nice little sign. Their total project cost was right around $450,000, including engineering. Obviously, the engineering cost is a savings for the town in this instance. They also didn't. They discharged directly into a closed storm sewer system there, so they did have to do an actuator. And whenever there's water going down the drain, it's going into the sanitary sewer system there. In this instance, because we discharged to a grass-lined swale, that's adequate to dechlorinate the water, so we would not be in violation of our MS4 permit.
Is that adequate to keep the surrounding grass area muddy?
Well, the first initial ditch is actually stone lined.
I don't know. I mean, when you walk around here after.
We'll have a sidewalk.
This is all sloped to the middle, to a drain in the middle, so no water runs off the pad.
Okay.
The first 240 feet of ditch that this goes into is a gabion lined swale. And then from there, it discharges into the county ditch, which is essentially wet already.
Did you choose one location over the other?
We like the location that we talked about earlier, the great smack near the bathrooms by the large pavilion, the Rotary Pavilion.
Yeah, in front of the Rotary Pavilion.
Yeah, the flat area.
Between the parking lot and the Rotary Pavilion, kind of where our leach field is now.
Not where the horseshoe pits are.
Not where the horseshoe pits are.
I guess I don't know where you're talking
about. Here,
as, as you drive up into the park, the actually the map is right on it.
Well, Tony, I think you've done a great job with this. And what I think is great about the project is we have about $220,000 in lieu of park funds. So I don't see this touching the taxpayers. And based on our conversation, you already have a couple ideas in place for long-term costs.
Yep. Okay. We've been putting money, I'll continue to put money aside.
So here's this is the road you're building. This is the office we'd be looking at right here. It is a little, there's a little more expense going here because there's not drainage close by. We would have to cut across the asphalt, drop a catch basin in here, and then turn and discharge to the swale here.
And your original site was over there, right?
We were originally looking at where the horseshoe pits are.
Okay, great.
But it also mean that we need to cooperate with the village, and as soon as we can run that sewer line.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
where our
leach field is there.
Well, obviously, one of the biggest discussion items is just how we want to spend all of that money.
Yeah.
That money hasn't been touched for decades. And is this the right thing to do? So we need to, to discuss it in detail.
Well, I definitely think that we should tap into the money for a project like this. I don't know if we want to spend every cent of it on a project.
No, I would look for funding. I would look for sponsorships. I would look for
sponsorships and shaking the money tree.
Right. But I just wanted to bring you guys up to speed. And if we were to go with the village and tie into the sewer line,
that would give us the space in that area.
Right. And we'd like to do it all kind of all together and put it as one big bundled package. So.
All right. Thanks, Tony. Thanks for the brief.
Tony, what's the next step? So, are you going to come back to the board, or are you
going
to wait?
Well, I'm going to. I'm waiting for one more. I'm waiting for one more company to put a design in and give me some numbers. And once I got those, I'll bring them to the board again, and then we'll probably sit down and say.
So, should we have that discussion at the next meeting, or?
We can keep it on the agenda.
Yeah, we'll keep it on the radar. But I just wanted to bring you guys up to speed of where we're at.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Tony. How do you pause this?